Good morning. I greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that all is well with you today. I thank the Lord for allowing me to see this day, and I thank the Lord for allowing you to see this day. I call your attention to the New Testament book of 1 John. 1 John in the New Testament. And in 1 John, let us travel to chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. The reading begins at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Father and our God in heaven, thou who art the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting me be alive today and be able to discuss, to declare your word. Thank you for every living, listening ear, whether they are listening at the initial offering of this worship or at some other time by various kinds of media that we use to declare and publish the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, bless this service, I ask thee. Lord Jesus, please intercede for this service, that it may be to the glory of God and to the good of those, Lord Father God, who experience it. Holy Spirit, please pray the prayers of intercession for this service, to the glory of God and to the good and blessing of the hearers. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. For a short time, my friends, let's commune together in worship using the topic, is or is not. Is or is not our topic for this worship service. Returning to 1 John chapter 4, the reading again begins at verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Is or is not. According to 1 John chapter 4, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. The Christian must be totally clear on this particular scripture. Jesus Christ, who is and was God in the flesh, who is and was God, the Son of God, came to planet Earth in the flesh. And we are very, very well informed here by 1 John chapter 4 that every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. There is no way around that. If a person says to you that he or she is saved, and that person does not confess and does not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that person is not of God. It doesn't matter what that person's title is. That person might be a Sunday school teacher. That person might be your parent, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, your cousin, your aunt. That person might be your pastor, your bishop, your elder. Regardless of what office that person holds on earth, if that person does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that person is not of God. And we're in danger, particularly now, this is the year 2025, we're in danger of various scenarios being put into our society, into our language, into our technology, into what we call artificial intelligence. We are in danger of those who are doing the programming, of programming in such a way that people in the future would not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. One of the most important things that you can do is make sure that you always have a Bible in paper book form, because we have technology now, and technology is easily able to change what has been written, what has been declared, what has been spoken. Technology can easily take things out and put things in. Technology can easily cut and paste. And the people of the future are at risk of not being told the truth about Jesus Christ. And there are many, many reasons for that, but the Bible tells us that anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Whether it's technology, whether it's government, whether it's school, whether it's science, whether it's psychiatry or psychology, whether it's medicine, whether it's spiritual church, whether it is seminary, whether it is your church hierarchy, whether it is your bishop, your pope, your elder, your pastor, your deacon, your trustee, whoever says that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh, is not of God, that is the spirit of Antichrist. And it was already in the world 2,000 years ago. For we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So we know that that spirit of Antichrist was already in the world 2,000 years ago when this was written by John. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And so it's not a matter of, well, will it come? And when someone says that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh, we right away know that it is the spirit of Antichrist. And in many societies, and my society in which I'm preaching this is the United States of America, where it is insisted that people can believe what they want, and Christianity doesn't force people to believe, the Almighty God commands people to believe. People are commanded to repent and believe the gospel. Jesus Christ himself gave that command in Mark chapter 1. And there are other scriptures that command us to believe. We must believe that Jesus came in the flesh. Beloved, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and following, clearly say, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." Remember that word, many. Don't be surprised when people tell you, "Oh, well, don't worry about that. That's just an allegory. That's just a parable." They're trying to put forth a point, but God, they would like you to believe that it is not true that Jesus came in the flesh. They would like for you to believe that, but it is true. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He came to planet Earth in the flesh. People did not believe him then. His own people did not believe he was who he indeed was. And John tells us that in the Gospel according to John. In the Gospel according to John, if you would turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1. And for those of you who are not informed about who Jesus is, he is the Word. In this reading here, he is the Son of God who is God, and he's also the Word. And so in John chapter 1, verses 1 and following, you and I read the following. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Gospel according to St. John, verses 1 through 14. The Gospel according to St. John, verses 1 through 14. Please pay particular attention to verse 14, in which we read, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verse 14. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, in the flesh. The question might be asked, well, why would people not want to believe that? There are many reasons. Some people just don't want to believe that God would come to earth. Some people don't want to believe that mankind is of such value to God due to the fact that God is loving and kind and merciful, some people don't want to believe that God would actually come in the flesh and actually die on the cross. And so they are trying to change it. They want to make it believable. Some things God does are so great, so loving, so kind, that people don't want to believe them. Don't want to believe them. But these things were prophesied. Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. Peter here speaking says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." And so it had been prophesied that God would come in the flesh. And thus, Peter, the apostle of Jesus, is informed and informs us in Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 32, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. It is very clear. The facts are very clear in the Holy Bible that Jesus Christ, the anointed of God, the one that was prophesied as being the Messiah, that he came in the flesh. But those who are not of God will teach otherwise. And some of you have been taught otherwise. And why? They're not of God, but they have other reasons also. They have ulterior reasons. They want you to believe them rather than God. Whenever people vary from the rightly divided word of God, they are wanting you to believe them rather than believe God. Don't forget this, friends. Whenever someone departs from the Word of God, generally they are wanting you to believe them rather than God. This is another reason why you must, every Christian, my friend, every Christian should have copies of the Holy Bible in paper written form. In the year 2025, there are some people on planet Earth, even in the United States of America, are saying, "Well, we are using too many trees. A lot of paper is made out of tree substance. And so people will argue for digitizing everything." No matter how much they digitize the Holy Bible, my friend, always keep a copy. And I would say copies. I own many copies of the Holy Bible. And get them now before artificial intelligence changes things. get Bibles now. I recommend particularly the King James Version. Now, some people may laugh at this, but things are changing quickly, and you need to teach your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and have them pass it on that there are dangers in artificial intelligence. There is danger in big data because generally it's programmed by human beings. And human beings can be very devilish. I don't want to be negative, but once something gets out there, and if it is progressive, it can infect many things. Things can be adulterated. We're at a point now where in technology and in manufacturing, it's easy to adulterate things. And so people, no doubt, who are not of God will try to adulterate the gospel of Jesus Christ, try to adulterate the Holy Bible. And that's another reason why you need to have your Bible in book written form. But by being able to change things and adulterate things, a lot of harm can be done. Because if artificial intelligence begins to curve toward a demonic destination and it becomes progressive, that's going to be very harmful to humankind. That's why artificial intelligence, on the one hand, and big data, they are good in helping us get things done. But if they begin to be demonic, and there are people who want them to be demonic, and there are many ways they can be anti-Christ. They can. I've seen those of us who are Christians, we have experienced anti-Christ forces. In our professional lives, there are forces who want you to believe them rather than God. And if they can get you to believe that the Holy Bible is not true, if they can get you to believe that, oh, that's demonic. That's demonic. Because the centrality of Christianity is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, coming in the flesh. That's the centrality of Christianity. He came in the flesh to pay the penalty for your sins. They would rather say, well, sin, that's something from the Christian perspective, but we don't go by that. We have our ethicists, and so we don't go by the Bible, they will tell you. And so artificial intelligence and computers will become perhaps the ethicists. The ethicists, this is ethically correct, and that's ethically wrong, they may say. This is morally correct. They may even cast out of hand, reject out of hand anything about morality and say, well, it's your perspective. Everything is relative. They will say philosophy has a degree of fluidity. It's fluid, like they're saying about genders now. Oh, gender fluidity. In the year 2025, they're pushing gender fluidity, that you can be anything you decide you want to be in your mind. That's what's happening. So the spirit of Antichrist is already multiplying itself. 2,000 years ago, according to John, it was already in the world. But we really see it taking off now. Artificial technology could easily tell you, oh, there are many belief systems, and your Christianity is just one. And artificial intelligence will tell you, more than likely, that yours is no better than any other one, and you all believe there's one God. Artificial intelligence will tell you, that's stupid. They will say, that's tunnel visionistic, that you're in a tunnel. You all have your heads in the ground. You're trying to say that your God is the only God who is God, and beside that, there's no other God. And they might even use that to say, well, there's no real God, because all of them say they have some kind of deity. And people will begin to believe that. That's why it's so important, my friend, to understand where we are. We're in a dangerous age. A dangerous age. And the spirit of Antichrist is afoot. Very much so. Then there are those who have their own faith, who do believe in some deity, but they will try to denigrate Christianity. They'll try to kick Christianity to the side so they can occupy center stage. This is for those of you who believe God, but some of you don't discern. You aren't discerning how other faith traditions have infiltrated the United States of America, infiltrated our school systems, infiltrated our government, infiltrated our news media, infiltrated philosophy, infiltrated psychology, infiltrated medicine, infiltrated. And you're hearing it, but you don't know what it is. Those of us who study the Bible, we know what it is. We hear it. But some of you don't. That's why you need to read your Bible and listen to us. And some of them will even say, oh, well, maybe he did come in the flesh. As if they're saying, well, okay, we're not going to fight you. They don't believe it, and they will try to find ways, like getting their technology or their professors in the universities or even their professors in the seminaries to say that, well, it didn't really happen that way. Well, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, listen to him. The Apostle Paul, writing in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Verse 4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Verse 5 of Romans chapter 1 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Jesus Christ is the central character in Christianity. When I was a deacon in a Baptist church many, many years ago, I was a young deacon, one of the youngest, but the Lord himself informed me through his teaching and training and his spirit that Jesus Christ must be the center of the Christian church. He must be the center of the local Christian congregation. The pastor must not be the center. The deacons must not be the center. The choir members must not be the center. The trustees must not be the center. The Sunday school teachers must not be the center. The missionaries must not be the center. But Jesus Christ must be the center of the church. And he is. We must have a Christocentric church. A Christ-centered church. Christ, who came in the flesh, who lived on planet Earth for some 33 years in the flesh, though he was God, who died on the cross at Calvary, who was he by being crucified, who was buried, who rose the third day from the dead, and then who ascended a few days later, some days later, back to heaven. That's the Jesus Christ that we serve. But artificial intelligence and those who are not of God will try to deny that. They will try to deny that he came in the flesh. They will try to deny that he is God. And so Paul says here in verse 3 of Romans chapter 1, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. In Romans chapter 8, verse 3, maybe we should read verses 1 through 3. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, read as follows. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's why he came in the flesh. This is informative beyond compare. Romans chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, meaning that sin must be paid for. Fleshly sin must be paid for, and humans can't pay for their own sins and be saved, because the wages of sin is death. And you can't die eternal death and still live. Someone had to pay the price. And the only person who could do that was God. That was the only person. Because the wages of your sin is death. Not just human death, but eternal death. That's the penalty that God requires and exacts for sin. And that's why Jesus Christ is so important. Because the wages, the price I must pay for my sin, and you must pay without Jesus, is death eternally, separated from God. But because Jesus paid that price on the cross at Calvary, once you take faith in him, then you live, because your debt has been paid and you have accepted that payment. Once I took faith in Jesus Christ, that he paid my price, that he is God the Son, that he paid my price, my penalty, then I am saved through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the centrality of Christianity. He is the centrality of my salvation. He is the centrality of my future eternal life, because he paid the price that I could not pay and still live. He had to die, but God raised him from the dead. He died for every man, paid the price for every man who believe. But those of you who refuse to believe that Jesus came in the flesh, those of you who refuse to believe that Jesus paid the penalty, you must pay it by eternal death, being separated eternally from God, and by being in hell for not having obeyed the command of God to repent. The Bible says God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You will read that in the book of Acts, chapter 17. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, and so you have no excuse. Paul, writing in Romans chapter 9, beginning reading at verse 1, says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom are concerning the flesh, Christ came. Listen, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, Jesus came through the promise that God made to Abraham that Sarah, his wife, would bear a son. And the seed, his seed, would be the Messiah, so to speak. So Jesus came in the flesh. We know his lineage. We read the promise. So we have no excuse. If you're a Christian and you let them trick you into believing or teaching that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, and you begin to spout that ungodly philosophy, that antichrist theology, that's what it is. Any theology that says that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, that is antichrist theology. That's antichrist theology. That's antichrist theology. Antichrist theology. Colossians chapter, and you see, you may have that in your seminary. If you're in a seminary that teaches antichrist theology, you need to pray about getting out of there, unless God sent you there to correct them and change them. If you have a professor who says that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, you need to pray about that, unless God sent you there to be the change agent. If you're in a church that calls itself a Christian church, and your minister or your leaders say that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, you need to pray. You need to pray and ask God what you should do, whether you should stay and try to change or whether you should leave. Because that's the spirit of Antichrist, as you and I read in 1 John chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, Paul reads here, well, let's start at verse 19, talking about Christ. Matter of fact, it's so powerful here. Let's even go up to verse 13. I was just going to give you two verses, but I'm looking here and it's so powerful here. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Talking about Jesus. Okay, let's go to verse 12 so we get a little more context. A little more context here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and following. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and following. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath... Okay, let me start again. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and following. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now that word meet means appropriate or suitable. In the old Elizabethan English, which some of the King James Bible is written in, the words mean different things than they may mean in your current society or my current society. So meet means appropriate or suitable or suited or things like that. So verses starting in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now that is clear. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and the flesh is part of the centrality of paying the penalty. In order to pay the penalty for our flesh, for us, those of us who are in the flesh, he had to become flesh. He had to represent us. None of us could do it. That's why it was absolutely necessary for God to become flesh, because flesh had to pay the penalty for flesh, but flesh can't do that unless flesh is God, and he is the only flesh who is God. So listen now to verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to represent you, to present you holy. Let's start that again. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You see the centrality of the flesh in the work that Jesus had to do. He came to pay the price for sins done in the flesh. Therefore, he had to be flesh to represent us the way God required that we be represented. In writing to the young minister Timothy, the Apostle Paul reassures us that Jesus came in the flesh. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we read the following. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Let me start over. I wanted to put holiness there. I wanted to put a word there. That would have been wrong. It would have been in error. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, read correctly, reads as follows. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. My friend, that leaves no question whatsoever about whether or not Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Listen carefully. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Seminary student, if you didn't write that down, if you can't retain this in your memory, you need to write that down. And when you go back to class, you need to bring this up with any professor that said that Jesus did not come in the flesh. That Jesus does not come in the flesh. Seminary student, because it appears to me that there may be some seminaries who are trying to leave the true word of God. Seminary student, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Listen, seminary student, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. First Epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. One more time, as they say, for those in the back, those of you in the back of the seminary class who didn't quite get it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. In Hebrews chapter 5, we read the following. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning reading at verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Let's read again, starting at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. In our topic scripture, we read that anyone who confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Is not of God. Anyone that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4 posits the following. First Peter chapter 4, verse 1, Peter says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." So Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." And in 2 John, 2 John, verse 7, as you know, 2 John is just one chapter. So in 2 John, verse 7, we read the following. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Let me read this once again. A seminary student, when you listen to your professor, use this litmus test. When you listen to your professor and he or she speaks against, contrary to this verse, this is your litmus test, or one of your litmus tests. The second epistle of John, verse 7. The second epistle of John in the New Testament, the second epistle of John, verse 7, reads, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Let me read that once again. 2 John, the second epistle of John, verse 7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." The second epistle of John, verse 7. So don't be surprised, because it says many. It says many. If there are many, you may very well be impacted by some or one. If there are many, the odds are you might be impacted. For the second epistle of John, verse 7 says, "For many deceivers." Anyone who says that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh is a deceiver. Is a deceiver and an antichrist person. That's what the Bible says. The second epistle of John, verse 7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." seminary student, Bible school student, you need to make specific note of the second epistle of John, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. The second epistle of John, which is one chapter, verse 7. In the second epistle of John, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. The second epistle of John, verse 7. Returning to 1 John chapter 4, the verses that we read. 1 John chapter 4, at the beginning of our worship service, 3 verses were read from 1 John chapter 4. Let's return to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3 read as follows. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for what you've taught us in this worship service. Thank you, Father God, for enlightening us. Thank you for informing us. Thank you for warning us. Thank you for making it explicitly clear, precisely clear, who is of God and who is not of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you have come to Jesus Christ who is the Son of God, who came in the flesh, who died on the cross for your sins and my sins, who rose again the third day, who ascended back to heaven, and who is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, making intercession for me and for all who are his children. If you've come to him and now you know you're saved, be sure to contact a Christian minister and our ministry, request and receive Christian baptism. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.